Well, look, let's begin. We're going to start off in verse 30. And I want to say this before I begin. This message is about unity. Somebody say unity.
Unity.
This message is about unity. I discern something that God is doing in this body. Amen. He is about to tighten us up the tightest we've ever been. You're about to be so unified with this body. Amen. You ain't been unified with mom and daddy like you're about to be unified with this body. You're about to be so unified. Amen. The people on the side of you, look at them. Now look at the one on the left and look at the one on the right. You see those people inside of you, huh? Amen. They are really about to be, amen, tight like they came out the same womb with you. I'm talking about, amen, we heading somewhere with this. We heading somewhere with this. And so I want you to just watch this thing. Amen. And even though this sermon, and sometimes you're going to feel like, hey, this is not unity. You watch the whole thing. Because it's all about us being one. I'm about to teach, especially the Hebrews, amen, how we used to do things. Amen. So we can do those things again. So that we can be the people we used to be. Yay! All right, let's begin reading, saints, in verse 30. Let's go back. The Bible says, and David went up by the ascent of Mount Olives, and he wept as he went up. And his head was covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up, weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into what? Into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai. Somebody say Hushai. Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and ered upon his head, unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel. Somebody say, defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear. You got to say that with me. Start at the what. What things soever thou shalt hear. We got to say the next one. Let's do it again. Look, let's do out of the king's house. Look, where he's going to hear it at? Out of the king's house. One more time, the Spirit said, what way is he going to hear that? Out of the king's house. Thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests. Behold, they have there with thee their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them ye shall send unto me, here it is, everything that you can hear. Somebody say, everything that you can hear. He said, send it to me. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yahushua, you see, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, Yahshua, we pray that the word would come alive and that you would use your word like a hammer tonight. To break out any division, disunity, grumbling, murmuring, anything that would hinder us from being one like the Father, Son, and the Spirit are one. We pray that we would be one. Now we know that if we ask anything according to your will, it shall be done. So now we are asking your will upon this church, oneness. And I just want you to close your eyes for a second. And I want you to see oneness. See the word oneness. See it descending from heaven. Right on the roof of this building. Soaking into the roof. Coming out of the ceiling. And falling on all of the people. What's that word you see? Oneness. Do it, Daddy. In Jesus' name. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. Quickly. Recap. Absalom killed his brother. Absalom fled and went to his grandfather's house. Joab concocted a plan to bring him back by using a woman from Tekoa to trick David. Absalom was back allowed into the kingdom, but he couldn't see the king's face. He set Joab's field on fire. Joab came and said, "What's happening with you? Listen, I want to see my daddy's face, and you didn't come when I called you." Joab brings him to the king. Absalom is restored 100%. And at that moment, he begins to try to steal the kingdom. He steals the kingdom with pretend things. Pretended greatness, pretended goodness, pretended humility, pretended religion, and pretended numbers. Everything was all pretend. We began to talk about David's flight, you see. Because a messenger came to David and said, "David, listen, all of Israel is with Absalom. He stole their hearts, kissing on them and acting like he was a better leader than you." David leaves the city, not one to subject the city to siege warfare and loss of life and loss of all the infrastructure of Jerusalem. David just leaves. And we've been talking about David's flight. We talked about Ittai, who was by David's side. We talked about Zadok, who wanted to be with David, but David said, nah, I need you someplace else. Be where I need you instead of where you want to be. We looked at five things that David did, hallelujah, during his flight that touched the heart of Almighty God. That even though David was in judgment, he was operating in such wisdom and godliness. Woo! That in judgment, God remembered mercy. David wept in sorrow. He had his head covered in shame. He went barefoot, showing humility. He prayed, showing spiritual intimacy with his God, even though his God's hand was heavy on him. "I still love you, Daddy. Though he slay me, yet still will I trust." And David worshiped. It's one thing to pray while you're going through, but to get up there and worship him? To tell him what he means to you? And all he's done for you while he's putting you through? Oh, it broke the heart of Almighty God. And God began to answer David's prayer. Remember, he sent Hushai. Right when David was worshiping, you see, because after worship, breakthrough comes. You see what I'm saying? It just has to come. You see? And Hushai was an answer to prayer. He had just prayed, "Lord, confound. Confound. Bring confusion. Bring confusion to the counsel of Ahithophel. Make it foolishness," is exactly what he says. And right then, after he worshiped, there come up the hill, Hushai. Anybody know that God answers prayer? Anybody know that? Amen? And so we talked about answered prayer. And I'm telling you, man, when we was on our vacation, amen, every chance I got to pray in front of my children, I prayed. Every chance I got. Every chance I got. Me and my wife, we was doing it. Every chance we got. We didn't care if we was in the restaurant and the food was taking long. We say, "Daddy, bring the food." And Grace will look up, she said, "Daddy, Mama just prayed. And look at him coming out with them groceries." Begin to use that with your children. Because as they watch Daddy answer prayer, just think what they're going to do when they're in a bind. What they going to do? They're going to pray. You understand what I'm saying? We know what to do. Pray. Hey, God. Hallelujah. Tonight, listen, we're going to continue with David's flight tonight. And it's David's flight part 5, but don't worry about the numbers. The title of this message is "Everything You Hear." Say that with me. everything you hear. Now remember, what is this sermon about, Philly? Unity. It's about unity. In order to have unity, everything you hear. All right? We're going to have three sub-points. Hallelujah. Out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it, Zadok, and Abiathar. All right? And I have in my notes again, it's all about unity. Let's begin with our first point, sub-point rather, out of the king's house. The Bible tells us clearly in verse 35, and hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priest? Therefore it shall be that what thing soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Right? Remember, David is fleeing. He's in the wilderness, y'all. You see? But he wants to know what's going on where? In the king's house. He can't be there, but he wants to know what's going on over there. Now, who does the king's house belong to? David. David wants to know what's going on in his own house. That's what he wants to know what's going on. He said, listen, now, whatever you hear out of the king's house, I need you to bring it to me. In Psalm 27:23, amen, it tells us a principle. It says, be thou diligent to know the what? The state of thy flocks. It's coming, y'all. And look well to thy herds. There it is. He says, be diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. The Bible says, be diligent. That means work hard. Work hard for what? To know something, to understand something, to recognize and to perceive something. Work hard, don't quit, stay at it to what? To understand, to know what? The state. Ooh, God, have mercy. Come on, somebody. What is the state? The state is the condition of a thing. How it looks, how it feels, what's going on the inside. Be diligent, ready, hardworking, nonstop, non-quick, persevering in what? And so that you could know, recognize, understand, perceive what? The condition. The condition of what? Of your flocks. Of your flocks. What's your flock? The flock is the people of God that's been placed in your care. Now, some of y'all in here, y'all thinking I'm just talking about me up in here. You done missed it already. You done missed it. If you think I'm just talking about me, you done missed it already. We got to back up a little bit. All right? Because every single one of us in here, God has placed some people in our care. Oh, be diligent. Hey, to know the affairs, the condition, the state of thy flock. The people that God done put in your care. Right? Now, this applies to us on so many different levels, but I'm just going to cover three because of time's sake. All right? This applies to the home life. All right? David said, I want to know everything that's going on. Where? In the king's house. In my house. All right? Do you know what's going on in your house? Oh, I didn't get an amen on that one, baby. I didn't get an amen. Do you know what's going on in your house? Are you diligent to know the state of thy flocks? Huh? Listen, I'm talking to some mamas and daddies up in here. I'm talking to some husbands and some wives up in here. Amen. Do you know what's going on in your house tonight? Amen. Do you know the state of your flock? Listen, I'm going to start with the husband for a second. Husband, do you know what's going on with the flock that God done put under you? Pastor, what's my flock? I'm not a pastor yet. Oh, no, you done missed it. You've been a pastor since the day you got married. You've been a pastor. Here you are. Pastor, I'm called to ministry. I want to be a pastor. Listen, you already a pastor. You already a pastor. And I got a word for you. How your church doing? How your church doing? Because you ain't going to be no pastor up here if you ain't pastoring the church right that you already have. Where did that come from? Wait. Husband, do you know what's going on with your flock? Do you know what your wife is going through? Huh? Do you know what your children going through? Do you know what's going on in your finances? Hey, do you know the affairs of your flock? The state, the condition, the well-being. Huh? So many men of God don't know what's going on in their own house. Wife going through in depression. He don't know. He oblivious to it. Here she is on the brink of a nervous breakdown. And he want to know what time the game is tonight. He don't know nothing. Don't know the affairs of their flock. They don't know what's going on with their children. Children wilding out. Huh? Cutting up. He not there. They got a club going on at his house. They charging admission. But since the man of God is so detached, he don't know the state of his flock. Finances could be on the brink of bankruptcy. Bank account negative. He don't find out till he slide the card. He don't find out till he in court. Wife just said, come on with me. I got to pick you up, go somewhere. He's standing in front of the judge, just bankruptcy court. He said, what happened? What happened was you didn't know what was going on in the king's house. Yeah. Why does the man of God not know usually? I got four reasons. Work, play, self, and sin. Work, play, self, and sin. Let's start off with the first one. Work. Yeah, pass the back, y'all. Pass the back. All right, come on now. Y'all know how we do it. We just go gently ease into it. Amen. Work. Yeah, the man of God loves to work. He works so much, he never home. He's always out of town. And when he do get home, all he do is sleep. Children running people in and out of his house. He running the biggest drug operation in the city from his front door and knows nothing about it. Little boys and little girls sneaking in and out the window, and he knows nothing about it. All because he wants to bring home the bacon. Well, I got news for him. Bacon is unclean, and he got to go ahead and stop bringing home the bacon and bring home something his family can be blessed by. You say, but Pastor, I got to work like I work. You ain't got to do nothing. And if you're in a situation where you temporarily have to do it, recognize that it's temporary, but you want to get yourself in a position where you can come home and be home. Oh, oh. Right? Work. And we got some workaholics in here. We got some people with some A-type personalities where they get focused in on something and they don't see nothing else. They black out. It's tunnel vision. And while they tunnel vision on work, amen, they don't know the state of their flocks. What's another reason why the man of God and even the woman of God might not know the state of their flocks? Not just work, but play. Everything from hunting, fishing, sports. Hey, this is a new thing in the new upcoming generation. Video games. Huh? Just caught up in fun. Hallelujah. Wife got the pills on the table. Ready to take her life. He trying to get to the next level in Medal of Honor. He don't know what's going on. He trying to make it to the Super Bowl on his video game. You know, not just that. He watching ESPN. Mark, he know everything about the home team, but know nothing about the team at home. You understand what I'm saying? Everything, know everything. Oh, we just got Adrian Peterson. Yeah. Huh? Huh? But your daughter just drafted a man too. Do you know about that? Don't know the state of the flock. Maybe it's just self. You just care about you, man of God, a woman of God. You're just doing you. Your plans, your career, your calling. You're not interested in them. Maybe it's because of sin. You're so preoccupied with the drug addiction, the drink, the making illegal money through drug sales, the club, leaving your children at home with no supervision so you can go out and dance, amen, in the black dark night. Floors full of liquor and vomit. That's where you want to be. While you don't have the foggiest idea what your children are really going through. We must strive, amen, at home to know the state of our flock. Tonight, what's going on at your house? What's going on at the King's house? Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're not going to stop on the job. Let's say you're a supervisor. Amen. Or you own your own business. All right? And let me tell you, I'm preaching to myself. I'm convicting myself here because I got so many things going on, you know. But all at the same time, if you're a supervisor, if you're a boss, if you own something, you must strive to know the state of your flocks. You got to strive to do it. You got to know what's going on that job. They hired you to supervise. You open that business, amen, for a dream. It's not going to happen by itself. You got to put your eyes on it. You got to put your hands on it. Amen. Hallelujah. When you don't have your eyes on it, you're not seeing what your inferiors, what your subordinates are really doing. They out there closing the store early. They out there stealing chicken nuggets when they're supposed to be selling them. You know what I'm saying? And if they knew well, like I know, they wouldn't be stealing them thing anyway. Amen. But listen, you don't know what's going on. Amen. Because you don't know the state of your flocks. I hope I'm preaching to a supervisor here today. Or I hope I'm preaching to somebody who about to get a promotion. Amen. If they promote you and put you in that position, or I'm hoping I'm preaching to somebody, amen, who about to start a business. Amen. Listen, you got to keep your eyes on that thing. It's like a baby. You got to keep your eyes on that thing. Amen. For those who have their own business and their eyes not on it and you don't know the state of your flocks, listen, poverty is going to come. It's going to close down. All right? I always tell my wife, we so blessed as Hebrews. We so blessed as the people of God. Whatever we put our eyes on is going to flourish. Did you catch that, Doug? If we just look at it, and I'm preaching to myself, if we just look at it, and that's why I'm moving here, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at that, I got to look over here. But when we put our eyes on something, that's been my calling. I feel it. When I put my eyes or my hands on something, life come out of it. Life come out of it. Life come out of it. Huh? What you ain't put your eyes on in a minute? What you ain't put your hands on in a minute? Huh? Just put your hands on it. Amen? I'm telling you, you like them people with a green thumb. When you just put your hand in that dirt, something's going to sprout out of it. I'm talking about everything from school to homework to your own business. I'm talking about everything, to your finances, to your wife. I'm talking about, yeah, put your hands on that woman. Hey, God. Amen. If you're a supervisor, amen, they'll hit you for lack of supervision. You see? Supervisory neglect, because all kind of stuff going on while you're supposed to be managing and overseeing. It reminded me of a lesson I taught a while back by one of the kings of Israel. I went through the kings of Israel. Who was that when I went through the kings, amen, of Israel? I taught out of Kings, amen. And I taught about a person that's in the old building, a king by the name of Jotham. Somebody say Jotham. And Jotham was, he was right, he was good. He was all good with the Lord, amen, and everything like that. But the problem with Jotham was that he was a bad manager. So he was good, but the people under his care, under his eye, under his concern, was living ratchet and wicked and disobedient and corrupt. And he never did anything about it, you know. And I'm going to tell you, amen, that legacy is in the Bible about him. 2 Chronicles 27:2. Look what it says. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father Uzziah. You remember Uzziah? The one that Isaiah said in the year King Uzziah died, the awesome King Uzziah. Well, this was his son. And he was an awesome king too, but he was a terrible manager. A terrible supervisor. And you'll get that if you fast forward all the way until the end of the verse. It says, and the people did yet corruptly while they was under him. Huh? Is that the truth about your house, man of God? Is that the truth about your business? Is that the truth about the business you're supervising? Amen. You good, but the people under you not good. You know? Thirdly, this scripture of knowing what's going on in the king's house and the parallel scripture in Proverbs about being diligent to know the state, the condition of your flocks. This also applies to pastors, all right? I had to hit y'all with a right and a left first, all right? But it applies to me as well. You thought it only applied to me, but no, it applied to all of us. But I'm going to tell you how it applied to me. And not only me, but for every single person in here who God is going to call to be a pastor. And I know you're in here. Pastors have to, Proverbs 27, 23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. We got to work hard. We have to be persistent. To do what? To know, to recognize and understand. Understand what? The state, the condition of how the people of God are doing in our churches. We have to understand the spiritual diseases that might be running through the body. We have to understand the physical diseases that might be attacking the body. We might have to, hallelujah, look closely and see, amen, if there's any false doctrine attacking the body, any false brethren attacking the body that's coming to try to steal the flock from the Most High God. All right? We got to see if there's any wolves in sheep clothing, any wild animals. We got to, hallelujah, know they flock so much, we got to pay attention to what they're eating. What they're eating. Where they're eating from. What they drinking. All right? All right? To know the state. To know the state. This word state is translated in the Septuagint to mean also not only the condition, but the number of your flock. And this is where we have been weak as a church, but I'm going to change all that. All right? I'm going to change all that. All right? It's important for shepherds to know how many sheep in the flock. Because if you don't know how many sheep actually in the flock, you'll lose one and never know it. You see, the problem with Philly is our blessing. What you mean, Pastor? Yeah. The same thing that's a blessing is a bit of a challenge. What is it, Pastor? Our growth. Our growth. People coming from all over. People coming in. You know? And that's what we do. Praise you. But Lord, help us. Because truth be told, amen, people can come here and they can leave and they get mad at me and they say, man, I left and you never, man, bro, look, dog, listen. We got over a G up in here. And though I try my best, I'm not going to see from, hallelujah, the 1,500 coming in through his son. I'm not going to see all the time when you're not there. All right? But there's other ways we can do it. All right? And I'm about to implement something. All right? G-Money, you're going to help me with it. You see? We got a software program that track all that. What we going to do, G, we going to track that. And when we don't see him for a while, you know what I'm saying. We're going to print out a list. You see? We either going to write him a letter, we're going to call him, we're going to do something, because something is happening to where we're losing people through the cracks. Anybody hear me up in here? And so just help me with that. And not just G, but you help me with that. I'm going to get to it here in a second. All right? All right? We got to know the number. Because a shepherd that don't know the number, when the sheep wander off in some valley somewhere, or go up on a high mountain and be on a cliff somewhere, if we don't know the number, and when the evening time comes, there we go. If you know the number, you can count. 1,499. Wait. Phil is missing. Know the state, the condition of your flocks. The interesting thing is he says of thy flocks. Isn't that something? All right. Do you know that there is a sense in which the flock that you've been given authority to oversee, in a sense, is yours? It's your family. It's your crew. All right. We don't talk about that a lot. And I'm gonna get to it here in a second. Yeah, it's God's, but we like to always hurry up and say it's God's. No, it's God's. Yeah, it's God's, but he's given you the authority. Yeah. All right, so it's yours. And a lot of times, what we do, Janice, we like to say, "Oh, it's God's. It's God's," to take off responsibility. Because if it's look bad and it's all unorganized and nobody keeping track of it, oh, it belonged to God. No, dog. Hold on. That's yours. That's yours. He said, know the state of your flock because the way it looked reflects you. Acts 20:28. Look what he says. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had did what? Had made you overseers. The Holy Ghost made you overseers. And that's for pastors. That's for mamas, that's for daddies, that's for supervisors, because the powers that be are what? They're ordained by God. He chose you and chose the people who under you. Right? He's made you overseers to do what? To feed the church of God. And right, he's specifically talking about pastors, which he had purchased with his own blood. They're our flock, amen, by delegation. They're his flock by salvation. Did you catch that? We only get it through delegation. They're his through salvation, meaning that he bought them. And I don't even say them. He bought us. You understand what I'm saying? When we was in our sin, when we was in our mess, when we was in our own blood, when we was in our vomit, and death was sure, all right? When the wages of sin was death, he passed by and saw us in our blood, and he told us, hallelujah, you're not going to die. He said, live. You understand what I'm saying? He said, live. How did he do it? He died on Calvary. He bled, he hung, he died, he suffered. To Leo, it is finished. They put him in that stone cold grave, and on the third day, he rose with all power and all might, with a promise saying, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He purchased himself a people. When the Hebrews rejected him, he said, that's all right, I'm going to give me a people. Oh, you didn't like that one, huh? When the Hebrews rejected him, he said, that's all right, I'm going to give me a people, I'm going to give me another people. And with that other people, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy. Amen? And when you see this other people blessed, you're going to get jealous and say, hold on, Lord, I want to be your people again. Amen? And hey, God. And you got to go through the purchase process to be his people. No matter if you're Hebrew or you're Gentile. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. And that's how we be saved. Huh? We admit we sinners. We believe on Jesus. Huh? And when we believe, he seals us with his Holy Ghost. He applies the blood upon us, purchased, set free, redeemed, forgiven. He writes our name in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. And we save. And he takes us and translates us out of darkness, out of the kingdom of the enemy, into light, into the kingdom of his dear son. And we become part of the church, part of his people, part of his flock. So listen, yes, it's his flock. And guess what? He paid a whole bunch for it. And whenever you take care of something that somebody done paid a whole bunch. Ooh. Huh? I leave my car with you. Huh? I leave my house with you. Ooh. I leave my babies with you, Grace and Lisa and Omar. I leave, and Chantel, no, she remind me all the time. Listen, I had to, hey, them children, anything that you done paid a lot for. When you finally delegate somebody with some authority and say, my brother, take care of that while I'm gone, it's a serious occasion.
So what does that have to do with us? Listen. It's your flock. By delegation, is his by salvation. He didn't pay high for it. He paid the highest for it. What Frankie said, he gave his best. So whether it's you at your house with your children and your wife, he paid his best for that. You just going to let that go like that? You won't know the affairs of your house? Or whether it's you at the job and you know what I'm saying? You won't do a good job when he didn't bless you with all of this? Or whether it's you as a pastor or a future pastor, you're not going to take care of the house of God, his flock that he purchased with his very own blood? Look what he's saying in Hebrews 17. Right? He says, Hebrews 13, 17, he says, obey them that have the rule over you. Listen to your pastors. Submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls. What else, Lord? As they that must give an account. You see, everything you lend somebody, you let somebody hold, you let somebody oversee, there's going to be a day of accounting. Meaning upon your return, you're going to check your children, make sure everything is good. Upon your return, you're going to look at your car and make sure they took care of it. Upon your return, you're going to come back and check the business, the books and everything, and make sure everything was done. Well, God is telling us that there is going to be a day. He's specifically talking about pastors. But if you know your Bible, it's the same thing with our children. He paid high for it. And I know that one day, Brother Doug, I'm going to stand before the Most High. And he's going to look at what he paid for and what I've done with his people. And I'm going to have to give an account. You know, as a pastor. And if I'm going to have to give an account, that behooves me to know the state, the condition, to know how the flock doing. Why should I know how the flock doing? Because on that day, I'm going to have to answer to him. And nobody else in here going to have to answer like me, no. Not for Philly. Some of y'all going to get something that you're going to have to answer for, you know what I'm saying, future pastors. Right? You see? Look well. And know your flocks, the affairs of your flocks. I tell you this so that you can know your pastor's job. I tell you this just in case some of you in here, which I believe it, are pastors. But I also tell you this lastly, so you can help me. Oh, I'm going somewhere, Hilly. What you saying, Pastor? Well, you see, listen. Do you know the story? David wasn't able to be in his own house. So he sent somebody there on his behalf. He said, Hushai, you go over there. And whatever you hear coming out the king's house. Oh, thou shalt tell it. Tell it to me. Tell it to me, because it's my house. I'm accountable for it. Tell it to me. Oh, what this message is about. What this message is about. Second point, thou shalt tell it. Say that with me. Thou shalt tell it. Look at verse 35. Right? And hast thou not there with thee Zadok, Abiathar, the priest? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it. We know the context. Right? Hushai helped David shepherd David's kingdom. Hushai was there to help David, not hurt him. He was there as David's
secret agent. David's spy. Oh, yeah. What is this message about? You see, the better job Hushai did reporting to the king what was going on in the king's house, that's the better job the king could do. Because, hey, God, the people perish for a lack of. If I don't know, I can't help it. Hushai, go in the house, and whatever you hear, tell it to me. What this message about? You see, this is so important on all the levels that we went through. This is important in your home that you have a Hushai. At your house. Because you're not going to be able to be at your house every waking hour, every second. All right? No matter how much we try, you're going to have to go to work. And some things will happen that you don't have your eyes on. But what you need is a Hushai there. That's going to tell you everything that's going on in the king's house. You need a Hushai in your house. Yes, the husband needs a Hushai as a wife. Anybody hear me, huh? When I'm at work, when I'm doing my thing, when I'm moving around, amen, your eyes are my eyes. Everything you see going on with the finances, with the children, with everything, don't you dare keep any of that to yourself, because I'm the one that's going to be accountable for it. If it fall apart, hey, God going to look to me and say, Omar, where art thou? Don't you dare keep that away from me. I'm the one accountable. Then I need the information. Man of God, you need a Hushai as a wife. If your wife don't divulge to you the inner workings of the house, y'all got to talk after service tonight. You need to know everything. If she hiding from you the things that the kids do, they looking at the kids, they got an agreement. The kids done got, they got an agreement with mama. I'm not going to tell your daddy this. We not. You tell me everything. You tell me everything. You tell me everything, because I need to be able to shepherd this home. I need to know what's going on with the kids, because God is going to give me some revelation to curtail this behavior and to stop this and stop that. No. Man of God, you need a Hushai. And woman of God, you need to be a Hushai to that husband. You let him know what's going on. You tell him what's going on with the children, with the finances. You say, Pastor, but that Negro don't want to know. Well, I got two things for you, all right? Tell him anyway. You understand what I'm saying? You walk around while he with that remote control. You listen, you can watch this after we talk. We in trouble here. We in trouble. You see what I'm saying? And you get this Negro this CD. And you play just this part right here. And I'm going to say what you play. I'm going to say it loud so you can hear, so you can repeat it all the time. Listen, Negro. Listen. Know the affairs of your flock. Because you're going to be accountable, Negro. All right, so we back. Okay, listen. Yeah, you need a Hushai. Tell me what's going on in the king's house. Don't hold nothing back from me. Let me know what's going on. All right? Let me know. Hallelujah. I've been blessed. I got me a Hushai at home. Hey, God. Sometimes I think she's telling me too much. Lord have mercy. But I want to know it all. You can't lead nothing if you don't have all the information. You can't make a good decision without all the information. All right? Hallelujah. Now listen to me good. Not only can your wife be a Hushai for you, all right? But as parents, all right, we're going to yoke them together, husband and wife. You need to make sure that you have a Hushai in one of your older children.
You understand what I'm saying? Like that oldest child or one of the older ones. Listen, you don't get that position by happenstance. God had made you the oldest in this family. God had put you in that position where you are. You might not think that, but God ordained you. Amen. He called you. He knew you while you was in the womb, gave you your name. You understand what I'm saying? You're the oldest for a reason. All right? And there's some times where as parents, we don't know what the rest of them doing. All right? But you know how we roll. You had us when we was in our strength, and boy, it was strong. You understand what I'm saying? We was the hardest on you. You know what we like and what we don't like. Don't you let them younger ones under you be lying and cutting up, running bars in and out the house, and you know what's going on in my house, and know that I'm going to be accountable for it, and don't say nothing. Huh? You know my child drinking? You know, not my child, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. This is hypothetical speaking, Lord. Lord, say, well, say it hypothetically. You right. An individual's older child knows that the younger child of that individual is doing things that that family would not like them to do and will say absolutely nothing about it until the day when that younger child is in that hospital bed on life support. And we look in there. Because what you knew you didn't say, now the trouble has come out to a head. Now look, that family's child on life support, but you knew about this. And then some of them got the nerve to, while the parents said, I didn't know he was drinking. Some of them sitting right on side of the body say, I knew mama. You knew? And you ain't told me? Doctor, come on in here. Put another bed right on the side of that one because it's about to go down up in here. I need a husha. Because the husha can help me solve trouble before it really break out. You need a husha in your family, at your house. Train up your children to be hushas. You know what I'm saying? And the world want to tell them, oh, don't rat. No. If I don't tell, I don't love you. We got to undo that gangster rap, not squealing, not snitching. Because that's how they do in the hood. I ain't telling no. I don't care what I see. And that's why the hood look like it look. And that's why people in the hood doing what they do. Because people that have the information don't want to be a husha. You also need a husha in your company. If you're a supervisor, you try to hire hushas. Somebody that's going to come and tell you what's going on your job. In your company. You see, a husha understands. A husha that worked for you understand the bigger picture. The husha that worked for you understand that, hey, God, that these termite-like employees that's not working on the boat, they are actually eating and drilling holes in the boat, and the captain is just up there oblivious to her, yo just driving the boat. He need a husha to come up and say, excuse me, matey, there be's a problem below deck. They're drilling holes in the hull of me ship. You understand what I'm saying? You need a husha to work for you. Because some of them Negroes, they be down there watching them destroy the ship. And what they don't realize is when the ship go down, you watching them destroy the company. You're watching them destroy the business. Don't they know if the company go down, none of y'all gonna have a job? So whether it's PCC, PCA, or whatever job you work at, you need to be a husha. You need to have a broader vision of the whole and not the individual. Come on, give God some glory for that. Woo-hoo! Somebody say, Lord, make me a Hushai. I'm glad you asked. Now let's get to it. Not only in the home and at the job, but the place where you're sitting right now. The place where you're sitting right here, right now, in church. Your pastor, as overseer, as shepherd of this house, the one who will give an account for every soul in here. I need some Hushais. People that's going to let me know what's going on in the king's house. I can't pastor such a large church without you. I'll never know what's going on. I can't fix no problems unless you come and you tell me. You need to tell me what's going on with you, because some of y'all think that I can guess it some kind of way. Well, he said he was a prophet. Yeah, why don't you help the prophet out? Don't mean I can see everything. I may be a prophet, but I ain't omniscient. Even a prophet got a bad day or two every now and then. Let a brother know. Right? I need a Hushai. Tell me what's up with you when you're going through, and tell me when one of the sheep in trouble. Tell me when they stray. Tell me when they go too close to the cliff. Tell me when they get in that valley and they're surrounded by wolves. Tell me, I can't get there, hallelujah, if you don't tell me. But if you let me know, by God, we're going to come out there with a team. We're going to run up in that valley. And we'll be able to go get them. But I can't do it without no Hushais. When they're in danger of false doctrine, let me know. When they're in sin, let me know. When they're on the alcohol, let me know. When they're on the drugs, let me know. When they're running women, by God, you let me know. When they're running men, let me know. When they're running men and women, let me know. Let me know. By God, you let me know. When they're messing with children, you let me know. If you don't let me know, you never know. I might pull this person up and let them teach because I don't know. I may pull them up and make them a deacon or a minister if I don't know. If you don't open your mouth, then you don't care about the ship. And what you don't know is that if the ship go down, you know how many problems we as a church can avoid if we would just be one? It's not about little cliques in here. It's not even about friendships. We love one another, but we love the whole, the body. We love what God is doing in this house. You know what I'm saying? More than we love to allow somebody to bring it all down. Am I making sense yet? This message is about what? Unity. Tell me when they sow in division. You know it. Let me know. Tell me when they're about to try to split the church. Tell me when they feel with pride and they smelling themselves like Absalom. You let me know that. Tell me. Tell me, you going to save them? You going to save the whole thing? You see, what you don't know about the whole story about Hushai is going to save David's life. Hushai is going to stop the coup d'etat. Hushai, through his activity of loving God and the kingdom of God, is going to restore the crown to King David. I could see David just walking up, amen, after his second coronation. After everything is back to normal, Hushai standing in the crowd over there. And I could see David walking with his robe through the crowd, hey, looking at all of the people, amen. But can you imagine him when he looked at Hushai? You know, we wouldn't be here without you, baby. If it wasn't for you opening your mouth. When the enemy came in like a flood, it was the Lord through you that lifted up a standard. Woo! We do it in our church. We do it on our jobs. We do it in our homes. We be hushies.
Listen to me good. When people don't relay information, when they refuse to be a husha in the home, on the job, or in the church, let me give you the reasons why they do that. All right? Let me give you the reasons why. Number one reason, ignorance. They just don't know. They don't know how important it is for a leader to know what's going on in his house. So they hear something, they know something, they see something, and they don't come say nothing. And we have more problems than whatnot. I thank God for the hushas in here. You have not no idea how many people done come, amen. They might see me at prayer. They come at prayer, they say, Pastor, zip, 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 zip. And I say, oh, yeah? I never knew that. But now I know. Thanks a lot, sister. I am going to check into that. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for that. You know? A husha. All right? Ignorance. All right? Here's the second reason why people are not a husha. Pride. Pride. They don't tell the shepherd because they're trying to be the shepherd. All right? They know something that's detrimental to church, but they don't say nothing because they think they can fix it. They won't try to play the shepherd at the job. They won't try to play the boss. You're not the boss. Tell the boss. And at home, when them children don't tell mama or daddy, they trying to play the parent, and you're not mama and you're not daddy. And at home, when that wife don't tell the husband, you're trying to play head of household by not telling the head of household what's going on with his children. And that's because of pride. Think you're more than what you are. You think you're more than what you are. And through pride comes shame. After pride comes a fall. Before destruction, amen, is pride. We so prideful we won't open our mouth and give it to somebody that can actually do something about it. You see? When you give it to the shepherd could do something about it. Them people not gonna listen to you. When you give it to the boss or the owner, the boss or the owner could do something about it. And when you give it to daddy, or you put that problem in the hands of mama, daddy and mama can move something to get something done. Come on, give God some glory. Woo! Y'all done yet? Because I ain't done. Hold on now. Here it is. Why people don't relay information? Ignorance, and that's a lot of the times. You see, we've been so divided that we don't know how to be one. We don't know what oneness looks like. We don't know that oneness means what I know you know, and I'm not going to ever know something that's going to hurt you. Why? Because I'm one with you, and if I know anything that's going to hurt Brian, I'm coming tell Brian because I love Brian. That's oneness. That's oneness. What the devil has done in our community is we talk when we're not supposed to talk. And when we're supposed to talk, we don't talk. So when it's time to gossip and tell everybody, girl, guess what happened? All right? I'm telling you, the biggest gossips are the ones with the spiritual husha gift. They're just using it the wrong way. What I'm trying to tell you is just flip the script. Just change for a second. Just say, I'm not going to tell everybody, but I'm going to tell the people that can actually affect the situation and change. Hey, Mom, is it making sense here, somebody? And you thought you knew all of that so you could just call everybody you knew and just tell everybody that. That's not why you knew. Let me reveal something to you. Listen, the spiritual gift of exhortation is the gift of counseling, right? To be a counselor, God has to anoint you and equip you to where people feel comfortable sharing their most personal, intimate details with you. All right, that's enough for this side. So I'm going to come on this side. All right. And if you have that gift, right, people are going to come up to you and they are going to tell you things that really, number one, you don't want to know. Number two, you ain't got time to know. Listen, I just asked you how you was doing. What are you going back to 1973 for? It's a sign of an anointing. All right? But like all of our gifts, we can either use our gifts for God or we can use them for the other side. All right? What I submit to you today, find your gift and use it for God. Be a husha, be an advisor, be a counselor. When they come to you with that mess, hey God, when they come to you with news about a fire, tell the firefighters. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Usually it's ignorance, it's pride. Amen. Number three is no loyalty. No loyalty. You may have a loyalty problem, meaning that the boss or the shepherd or your parents, you are not loyal to them. No matter how loyal you think you are, it's a newsflash. If you don't share what you know about the whole to the leader, you're not loyal to that leader. You're not, and you're just deceiving yourself. All right? And a lot of times you'll be, as a wife, you'll be more loyal to the children than you are to your husband. When you don't divulge that information that he needs. All right? You know? And as a child, you're more loyal to a brother or a sister than you are to the mama that pushed you out at the risk of her own life. You understand what I'm saying? That woman almost died on that birthing table for you. And you're going to hide that boy drinking. It's a loyalty issue. And there you go in this church. More loyal to your spiritual brothers and sisters than you are to the pastor that preached the gospel to you and you were saved by it. Oh, yeah, you may have many teachers, but you got one father in the faith. Yeah. Ooh, they want to hear that, babe. They don't want to hear that. Won't be loyal to somebody else. Won't be loyal to somebody else. Them people ain't did nothing for you. You wouldn't even know them if you wasn't here in this house. It's a loyalty issue. It's a loyalty issue. You be loyal to the people that do you the most good. You don't be loyal to the ones that don't do nothing for you. Look, I just, you know what I'm saying? Am I tripping? Man, I'm trying to, look, David told him, Hushai had a choice yet. Hushai could have went in that kingdom and said, I'm going to be more loyal to Absalom. What? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Number four, the next reason why you don't relay information in any of those categories is that you don't want the flock to succeed. Deep in your heart, you don't want the flock to succeed. And so when you get information that's detrimental to the whole, you don't say because you don't want it to succeed. How does that look? Well, in the family, it looks like you know what a child doing, but you don't care. And you want the family to fall apart. So you don't say nothing. You don't mind when they fuss. You don't mind divorce. You don't mind when that child get locked up in the juvenile home. You don't mind that. It's not, you don't have a heart of love just yet. Secondly, on the job, you don't care about them pilfering and stealing and doing all they're doing on the job. You don't care about that because you don't really love the company you work for. And if it sunk, you'd be happy deep inside. In the church, you hear, but you don't really love this church. And when you find out about some stuff going on, you ain't saying nothing because deep down on the inside, you want it to fail. You say, Pastor, that can't be. Listen to me, man. You know, in every large group, you got a core of the ones that's really with you. You remember what God told Gideon? That's too many. They can come with you and celebrate on another day, but we got work to do, and you got too many of them right now. Let's cut it down to the core. And how many was it that was really with him? 300. Prophet's been telling me that. Meaning that at Philly, we might have 1,500, but I wonder how many is that real core. You understand what I'm saying? Because that core is going to be the one that come and say, Pastor, listen, we got some trouble brewing, man. And I love my church. Before I came here, you know where I was. The boy's doing some stuff on this side over here, Pastor, that needs your attention. You see? You see? That's the core. That's the core. How many are part of the core of Philadelphia tonight? You see? Then be a Hushai. Be a Hushai. Let me know what's going on. Let me know what's going on in the king's house. And examine yourself. Search your heart. Ask the Lord to show you, God, do I really love this place or am I just waiting for it to fall? So that if it does, I can smile and move on to another ministry. Or if it does, I can do what I really want to do, which is stay home and not go to nobody church. Last point. Pastor really back. I told y'all Sunday was a treat. I told y'all I let y'all out early. I'm taking those minutes back tonight. You a blessing? Yeah. I'm taking the minutes back tonight. Pastor, a storm coming. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. Last point. Zadok and Abiathar. What this message is about, Philly. That's what it's all about. And what's wrong with me knowing about something I'm accountable for? And what's wrong with me knowing about something that's detrimental? Now listen, I don't want you to come, amen, and we're going to talk about the means in this point right here. But you don't say just no little itty-bitty information, though. Oh, Pastor, he got gas. Because some of y'all are so rebellious, that's the kind of stuff you're going to do. You don't really want to say nothing, but you're going to come and you're going to try to come say everything and just try to make it look stupid. You're only playing yourself. Pastor, he stunk up the first three rows. He just, and he do it every Sunday, Pastor. He just, and it's not the anointing during altar call, Pastor. They getting out their seat because they, evacuating the premises. Well, if that's you letting it out during altar call, let it out. Let them bring them out. Bring them to the altar. I'm joking. Listen. All right, listen. All right. But yeah. It's got to be stuff detrimental to the church. Or when one of the sheep, hallelujah, about to destroy themselves. You see? You come and you bring that. You know? All right, last point. Zadok and Abiathar. Look at 35 and 36 with me. Look at it good with me now. All right. Look what it says. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok, Abiathar the priest? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's heart, out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to who? To Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Go to 36. It's our last. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son,
and Jonathan Abiathar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that you can hear. All right? It has to do with his house, all right? Now let's stop right there, all right? Listen to me good, all right? David will not be able to get into the kingdom himself. So he sends Hushai. But there's another problem, Miss Iola. David can't get in the kingdom. He sends Hushai, but Hushai can't get to David. Because the enemy is going to see. If Hushai leave the palace and go walk and run, amen. And David, guess what I heard? The enemy is going to see that. So David can't be in the kingdom, but Hushai can't be with David. So we got a problem here. How are we going to get this information from Hushai to David? David tells him, listen, you have with you Zadok, who's my dog, and Abiathar, who I just sent back over there. Not only is Zadok and Abiathar there, but their two sons are there as well, Jonathan and whatever his name is. Ahimaaz. All right? There are times when you can't get to the leader to relay information. There's times when you might not be able to get to that boss, that owner. Times when you might not even be able to get to pastor. You can are you following my schedule and the things that I'm doing? You know what I'm saying? And so I got a lot of things on the plate. And there's times you might not be able to get to me. All right? But there are people in here that when you cannot get to me, they can get to me. You understand what I'm saying? I got three claps out of that. Hey! What I'm saying, you be Hushai, and I have some Zadoks and some Abiathars. I got some Jonathans and whatever his name is. Ahimaaz. All right? So if you know something going down and feel it as detrimental to the body and detrimental to the sheep, the shepherd should know. So how do I do it, Pastor? You're rolling. You're doing this. You're doing that. How do I get it to you? Well, the number one way, God is first lady. Yeah. It's the woman of God. She lived with me. Hallelujah. Most of the time, we ride home together. You know what I'm saying? She could talk to me anytime. And this is especially true if it's going on the women's side of ministry, all right? Because I don't want no brothers trying to call first lady or nothing like that because I'm from the hood. And if I sense something, it's on up in here. I'm joking. Listen. So particularly on the women's side of ministry, don't act like you wouldn't do the same thing. So particularly on the women's side of ministry, you know what I'm saying? Get with first lady. You know something going on? She going to tell me. You know what I'm saying? We live in the same house. We sleep in the same room. And even if I'm tired, I don't want to listen. She got ways of just, you know what I'm saying, making me listen. All right? And not that I don't want to ever listen to you. I love to listen to you, pretty. All right. Hallelujah. First lady. Secondly, Who's another Zadok and Abiathar? Well, Duck, Phil, and Anthony. All right? In no order of importance, I can say Phil, Duck, and Anthony, or Anthony, Phil, and Duck. I'm just saying, they're all ministers. All right? If you got something going on, tell them. They're going to get it to me. Or what Brother Duck will likely do sometimes, he'll say, hey, you know, if he say, you know what I'm saying, he might tell somebody, you need to call pastor yourself about this one, you know, and he'll get you through or do something like that. But what it is a heart. When he hears something that I need to know, he know how to get it to me. All right. So if you got something going on, talk to Brother Doug. Talk to, amen, Minister Ann. Talk to Minister Phil. You say, well, wait, Pastor, what if what I have to talk to you about is about one of them? Let's keep it real. Everybody human up in here. All right? You know what I'm saying? I'm not perfect for sure. The minister's not perfect. But if you got to tell me something about one of them, you can go to one of the other ones. You know what I'm saying? You can go to one of the other ones. But y'all a clique. No, we not a clique like that. We love each other. But when one doing wrong, we let each other know the wrong that the other one doing. Brother Duck, am I lying? Man, I'm telling you the truth. You don't even want to be in the meetings like that. You don't even want to be in the meetings like that. You know? I love my dudes. But we keep each other accountable. And we real with each other. You know? They got times when we crying to one another. We chopping wood. You know what I'm saying? And it's not just them. The deacons. You got something going on? You better holler at Deli. You know? You better holler at Vinny. You better holler at Brent. Oh, and if you get blessed, boy, holler at Rick Hill, baby. You understand what I'm saying? Man, holler, man. Because they got me on speed dial. They can hit me. They can get me. They can get me. I don't care where I'm at. I'll be in Orlando, whatever. They call, I'm answering. Because it's got something to do with the flock I'm accountable for. Come on, give God some glory for that. Amen? All right? Yeah! Now, I want to say to the ministers and the deacons, y'all better let me know what's going on. I got another one for you. You know some, you want to be a Hushai, you can't get to me. David couldn't get with Hushai. He had Zadok and Abiathar. Look, I got another person for you. You can call besides First Lady, the ministers, and the deacons. Listen, you can call Shalanda. Now, she not here tonight, but she usually here. You can call Shalanda. Shalanda going to let me know. All right. Pastor, you done took enough minutes. Let's wrap it up quick. Be a Hushai. Let us know what's going on. You can't get to me? Get to one of the Zadoks and the Abiathars. Not only the ministers, the deacons. Not only my wife, First Lady. Not only Shalanda, amen. You can talk to one of the 12 leaders. Now listen, I know the 12 group's been kind of stagnant. I've been hearing that, all right? And then got back to me. We about to change something up, all right? First Lady kind of, you know, had a meeting about it just now. We about to change some things up on it. We're gonna breathe some life in it. We're going to put our hands on it, all right? And something good is about to come out of it. Amen. You're still going to have, like, some group leaders, but it's going to be a whole different type of dynamic. And if you're going through, you can tell one of them, and they're going to get the message, amen, through the chain of command. You can tell your ministry heads. They're going to let us know. Amen. Tell them when you're in trouble. Tell them when the flock is in trouble. You be a Hushai. Wrapping up. David tells Hushai, listen, go to my house and you let me know everything that's going on in my house. Be my spy. Be my agent. Be my dude. You know, this is how we going to do it. When you can't get to me, talk to Zadok and Abiathar. But send me everything you hear. Through this, friends, Hushai wound up stopping the coup, save David's life, save the kingdom. And not only save David's life and the kingdom, but wind up saving all of David's sons. You don't know how important that is just yet. You see, because from one of David's sons would come the Son of God, would come Jesus. Hushai, by revealing the information, may God use Hushai, woo, to save, whoo, that particular son of David. Because listen, Absalom would have slayed them all. He would have left no type of competition for the throne. Is how we did it in the back in the day. Hushai come and say, this is what's going on. Save the king, the king's house, the king's seed, and the King of Kings. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory in this place. How many Hushais I got up in here? How many Hushais I got up in here? Who gonna care more about what we doing in here than some clique up in here? Yeah, y'all could be friends. Yeah, y'all could be brothers and sisters. But even though we're brothers and sisters, we care more about the family that we connected to. It is the family that makes us brothers and sisters. That would be like the fingers caring more about one another than they care about the hand. The hand connects us. The church connects us. You be a hushy for the glory of Almighty God. Come on, give God some glory. Woo! I had to give you a little something to chew on when the storm come. Amen? Amen. Give you a little extra. Let's go ahead and pray and get out of here. You've heard the gospel laced in this message. You see? And we're going to pray. All right? But you know you've been purchased. He died for you. He's just waiting for you to say yes. You admit you're a sinner, you believe in Jesus, and you confess him and open your mouth. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray with me now. Say, God, thank you for your love towards me. I'm sorry for all my sins. I admit my wrongs. I repent of my sins. Please forgive me and save me. I believe with all my heart that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe you were buried in the grave. And on the third day, you rose with all power. Lord, save me, a sinner, and give me a new heart. Give me a new start. And make me a hushai. Make me loyal. Help me, Lord, to care about my church, my family, and my workplace. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory.